Good morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your begotten Son to be the Savior of this world. We pray for your Holy Spirit filling each brother and sister this morning. And pray for your Spirit to touch the hearts of those who have not believed in our Lord Jesus Christ yet to believe today. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. I spoke on Jesus the Priest-King on May 17 earlier this year. The topic of my message this morning will be Jesus the God-Man. Jesus is fully God and fully man. At the Lord's Supper here at Heather Bible Chapel, every Sunday we gather to break bread and drink from the cup as symbols of Jesus' broken body and shed blood for us to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, as he commanded us to do so until he comes. At this service, we remember and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what he will do. We will also remember and give thanks for Jesus who came in human flesh, went willingly to Calvary cross, suffered and died a cruel and painful death, shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of sin of all who believe in him. Jesus, the Son of God, came in human flesh, born of a woman, Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. 1 Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 1, verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, that is Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Joseph and Mary had pledged to be married, but before the marriage was consummated or complete, Mary was found to be with child, conceived by the Holy Spirit. God created time, space, heavens and earth and all things by his spoken word. And he formed Adam from the dust of the ground. Genesis 2, verse 7. And then God created Eve from Adam's rib to be a companion to Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. Since then, all human has his or his birth through a mother, a woman. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 12. For as a woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. God is spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she conceived a child who is called the Holy One, the Son of God. Luke 1, verse 35. Jesus is the Holy One. As only God is holy, Jesus is God, fully God. Jesus is also fully man, as all human comes through a woman, born of a woman. And Jesus was born of a woman like you and me. Although the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, we can see the Trinity or the triune God throughout the Bible. That God, the one God, exists in three distinct persons of three roles. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each being fully God, and the three persons working together in and for God's people. Jesus is the second person of the triune God or Trinity. God the Father sent God the Son to be the Savior of this world. Jesus Christ is fully God, yet is fully man. He is the God-man. This is a great mystery that many in the world in the past, and even today, do not believe in this truth. But this truth is central to our Christian faith. Our Christian faith is based on the absolute and eternal and unchanging truth of God's Word, the Bible, and not based on the worldly truths shaped by culture, opinion, and personal experience, which are subjective, relative, and temporary. I would like to share with you certain selected passages from the Bible supporting this truth that Jesus Christ is the God-man. There are many more passages in the Bible supporting and proving that Jesus is the God-man, but I have selected these passages to share with you this morning. Jesus is fully God. The seven signs that Jesus performed and recorded in the Gospel according to John point to Jesus as fully God. The Apostle John in the book of John focuses on the divinity of Jesus Christ's relationship with God the Father, and Jesus repeated claims that he is the Son of God. Our brother Carl Battelle spoke on one of the signs from the book of John at the Brenham Lodge in his message in May. The Jews knew Jesus as the son of Joseph, the husband of Mary, but failed to believe that he is the Son of God. Even with the seven signs performed by Jesus recorded in this book of John that only God could have performed, even today, many failed to believe that Jesus is God, believing that he is a good man or perhaps a prophet, but fail to believe that he is God. A sign is not a destination, but points to the destination and leads to the destination. Even if we have a GPS, many of you would have a GPS to get to your destination, but we would check the road signs to make sure that we are on the right way, right? I remember using paper maps for directions to get to a destination, as we did not have GPS then. I don't know how many of you remember using paper maps. Any of you? Okay. So I'm not the only one. Seven in the Bible symbolizes divine completeness, perfection, and fulfillment of God's promises. Therefore, the seven signs recorded in the Gospel, according to John, would be complete and sufficient to point to the Jews and us that Jesus is the Son of God. If you have the Bible or your Bible app on your phone, you can refer to the passages in my message today, this morning, for more details, because I will only be briefly summarizing each passage due to time limitation. The seven signs in the book of John are, first, turning water into wine. Second, healing a nobleman's son. Three, healing the crippled man. Four, feeding the 5,000. Five, walking on water. Six, healing the blind man. Seven, raising Lazarus from the dead. The first sign is turning water into wine, John 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have your Bible or Bible app on your phone, you can follow along. This was the first sign that Jesus performed at a wedding in Canaan of Galilee. They ran out of wine during this wedding feast, and Jesus commanded the servants to fill six water pots, each containing 20 or 30 gallons of water. and these are big pots, with water to the brim and to draw from these pots and take it to the master of the feast. When the master of the feast tasted the water that was turned into water, he said to the bridegroom in John 2:10, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have been well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Wine would take years to ferment and age to develop the aromas and flavors of a good wine. I don't know much about wine. This is what I read. But Jesus changed water into the best wine in the world instantly. This is only possible for God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. The second sign, healing a nobleman's son. A nobleman, an official, whose son was sick at the point of death at Capernaum in Galilee. He pleaded to Jesus to come and heal his son. In John chapter 4, verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. The nobleman trusted in Jesus' words, and he went home to his son, without insisting that Jesus went with him. On his way home, his servants came and told him that his son recovered. He found out from his servant that his son recovered at the exact hour when Jesus said to him, your son lives. As a result, the nobleman himself and his whole household believed in Jesus. The third sign, healing the crippled man. John 5, verses 1 to 9. And there was a pool called Bethesda by the sheep gate in Jerusalem. The sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, would come there because they believed in the legend that an angel would come at a certain time to stir the water of the pool, and whoever stepped into the pool first after the stirring of the water would be healed. There was this man who had been crippled for 38 years, could not get into the pool ahead of anyone else because he had been crippled. Jesus saw this man and asked him, do you want to be made well? In John chapter 5, verses 8 to 9a, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. The action of the crippled man showed his faith in Jesus' words and was made well. The fourth sign, feeding the 5,000. This is the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 men, not including women and children, by multiplying 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish from a boy. Not only the people were filled from their hunger, they gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers afterwards. They ended up with much more than they started with. The people said in John chapter 6, 14b, this is truly the prophet who is to come to the world. The people would acknowledge that Jesus is a prophet, but they would not acknowledge that Jesus is God. The fifth sign, Jesus walking on water. Then Jesus sent his disciples to go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee on a boat, while Jesus went up to a mountain by himself alone. And it was evening and was dark. When the disciples were rowing their boat for about 3 to 4 miles toward Capernaum, the sea became rough because of a great wind blowing. Then they saw Jesus walking on the sea to them, and they were afraid. Jesus said to them in John 9, verse 20, it is I, do not be afraid. When they received Jesus into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. Jesus' disciples witnessed Jesus' divine power and authority over nature, walking on rough sea, not calm sea. And the boat reaching safety immediately when Jesus got into the boat. Do you want Jesus to be in your boat when you face a storm in your life? The sixth sign, healing a man born blind. John 9, verses 1 to 7. There was a man who was born blind at birth. Jesus fed on the ground and made clay with his saliva. Saliva was believed to have healing power. Jesus put the clay on the eyes of the blind man and commanded him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent, in John chapter 9, 7. So the blind man went and washed and came back seeing. Again, this man born blind believed in Jesus' words and he was healed. The seventh sign, raising Lazarus from the dead. John 11, verses 1 to 44. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. He was sick, and the sisters sent a message to Jesus asking him to come. But Jesus purposely delayed going right away. He waited 2 more days before going to Bethany in Judea. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already died and had been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus came to the tomb and commanded in John chapter 11, verse 43, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out from the tomb. Lazarus' dead body would have started to decay as he had been dead for 4 days and had been buried for 4 days. Only God has authority over life and death. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, showing his authority over life and death. Jesus clearly demonstrated his power and authority of God over matters, nature, sickness, and even physical death in these 7 verses recorded in the book of John. In the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts, the apostle also performed many signs and wonders, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Unlike Jesus, who performed the signs under his own authority, the signs and wonders performed by the apostles were performed in the name of Jesus Christ by God. Jesus said in John 10, verses 37 to 38, to the Jews, because the Jews were accusing him of blaspheming, speaking irreverently about God, because Jesus claimed that he is the Son of God. And I read from John 10, verses 37 and 38. If I do not do the works of my Father, that is God the Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him. The Jews saw and heard about these signs, but many of them failed to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the triune God? Now let us look at some selected scriptures that Jesus is fully man. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11 is a key passage to me, teaching that although Jesus is fully God, he humbled himself and chose to put aside his deity, to be born of a woman as a human, and chose to die on the cross as the only sinless man to atone the sins of all who believe in him. I read here Philippians 2, 6 to 11. who would be Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, being the Son of God, fully God, humbled himself and chose to become a human, fully man, yet without sin, to die to save us sinners. One day, all will recognize this truth and bow down to him and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no one, no, not one. Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that no one is righteous and all have sinned. The consequence of sin, the wages of sin, is death. And by God's grace, unmerited favor from God given to mankind freely, for all who believe in and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by faith, would be justified, declared righteous by God, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus died on the Calvary cross and paid it all. His death on the cross is sufficient to atone for all the sins of the world for all who believe in him. We all need Jesus Christ. Jesus' baptism. Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Jesus Christ, being God the Son, did not have to be baptized by John, because John's baptism is a baptism of repentance from sin, and Jesus was and is sinless. Matthew 3:13-14. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you coming to me? Jesus, being a man, a human, his baptism was an act of obedience and identification with God's will. It was a symbol pointing to his death as a man, burial and resurrection. When he was immersed under the water, a symbol of his death and burial. When he was raised from the water, a symbol of his resurrection. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are to obey the two ordinances commanded by Jesus, which are water baptism and the Lord's Supper. Both symbolic acts that we publicly declare our faith in Jesus Christ and remember his death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Jesus, being a fully man, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' baptism, we read in Matthew 3:17, that suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Here, God the Father himself declared and testified that Jesus is the Son of God. Temptations by Satan in the desert. After Jesus was baptized, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the Judean desert, preparing for his 3-year ministry to come. And Satan took this opportunity to tempt Jesus when he was physically weak and hungry as a man. Satan tempted Jesus first to use his divine power to turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. And second, to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple to test God's protection. And thirdly, to worship Satan himself for the worldly kingdoms and glory instead of worshiping God alone. And each time, Jesus used the scripture to refute Satan. In Matthew chapters 4, verses 4, 7, and 10, respectively. God is immortal and not subject to the physical needs of mortal life. For example, the need of food. But Jesus put aside his deity as God and chose to experience the physical hunger as a man. Each time when he was tempted, he refuted the temptation of Satan using the scripture. But be aware, Satan also used the scripture in Matthew 4 verse 6 and tried to mislead and trick Jesus into falling into temptation. So a lesson here for us is we need to rely on the scriptures to refute and resist temptation. But it is important to know and understand the scripture so that we would not be misled by false teachings, taking the scriptures out of context. There's no better way than studying and understanding the scripture than what? Attending the Bible study. At Heather Bible Chapel here, that we study, search, ask questions, discuss, and learn the scripture together. I want to stress together. Jesus prayed in the garden. Before Jesus was betrayed and arrested to be crucified, he went with his 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John, to Gethsemane, located at the Mount of Olives, to pray. The event was recorded in Matthew chapter 26, 36 to 46. Jesus, being fully God, he knew of the suffering to come, as God is all-knowing. But Jesus chose to put aside his deity and experience the anguish and sorrow of a man, knowing his suffering to come. We read that Jesus went a little further from his 3 disciples in Gethsemane and prayed 3 times alone. Each time, he prayed the same prayer to God the Father, asking God to remove this cup of suffering from him. And without fail, at the end of each of his prayers, he would yield to God's will, saying, "Not as I will, but your will be done." This is a lesson for us too. It is okay to cry out to God, and in our anguish and in trouble, to frankly express our emotions to God. But at the end, we need to trust in God's perfect will and purpose, not our own will. Jesus was betrayed and arrested. Matthew 26, verses 47 to 56 recorded the betrayal and arrest of Jesus at Gethsemane. Judas Iscariot, Jesus' disciple, the betrayer, led a group of people from the Jewish chief priests and elders with swords and clubs to arrest Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 53, that he could have called upon his Father, God the Father, to send more than 12 legions of angels, a large number of angels, to protect him from the arrest. But he chose not to do so. so that he could fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures written about him. Jesus understands and can sympathize with us, even when we are being rejected by a loved one or a close one, as he was rejected and betrayed by one of his own disciples. Interrogations by the Sanhedrin and also by Pilate. Matthew 26, verses 57 to 68, recorded that after Jesus was arrested, he was led to Caiaphas, the high priest. Then the chief priests, the elders, and all the council tried to make false accusations against Jesus in order to put him to death, but found none. They spat on his face, struck him, and the next morning they led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the Roman governor. And then he was further flogged, beaten, and humiliated by the Roman soldiers. When he was examined by Pilate, he kept silent, fulfilling what the scripture said about him. And at the end, Pilate would declare Jesus as a just man. It was customary during the Passover festival for the Roman governor to release a prisoner that the Jewish people wished to release as a gesture of goodwill and also in commemoration of the Jewish people being freed from slavery in Egypt. But the chief priest persuaded the Jewish crowds to ask Pilate to release Barabbas, a notorious prisoner, instead of Jesus. Even though the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious council, and Pilate could not find any fault in Jesus, Pilate yielded to the pressure of the Jewish religious leaders and the Jewish crowd and handed Jesus over to be crucified. Jesus died as the Lamb of God. Jesus was crucified and died as an innocent man, the perfect sinner's atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, fulfilling the prophecies spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus said to his two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 26, and I read, "Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow to the heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Jesus came to fulfill what the prophets spoken about him, to fulfill the prophecy spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament. In Exodus 12 of the Old Testament, the Passover lamb points to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that was provided by God himself for all believers. In Exodus 12, the Lord passed through the land of Egypt and wiped out all the firstborns in Egypt, but spared the firstborns of Israelites, because of Israelites believe and obey God's commands and words. They slaughter Passover lambs and apply the blood of the Passover lamb of each household on the door frames, so that the Lord God would pass over them as the Lord went through the land of Egypt and struck down all the firstborns in Egypt. As a result of this last plague of the 10 plagues, I read from Exodus 12, verse 33. "And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead." The Egyptians, fearing that they would all die, gladly sent and urged the Israelites to get out of Egypt. And God made the Egyptians freely give the Israelites the silver, gold, and clothing that they asked for. And as a result, the Israelites plundered the Egyptians when they came out of Egypt. Exodus 12, verses 35 to 36. I've created a table here based on the article titled Behold the Lamb of God by Mitch Glasser, the president of Chosen People Ministry of Canada, showing that the Passover Lamb of Exodus points to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Durant Singh, if you attended the Bible study, or mentioned this in the Bible study as well. The first month of the Hebrew religious sacred calendar is Nisan. Jesus came to Bethany on the eighth day of Nisan. He shared the meal with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that evening. As a new day in the Jewish calendar begins at sunset, Jesus had a meal with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus on the ninth day of Nisan. During the day of the ninth day, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, and people went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." In Exodus 12, on the 10th day of Nisan, the Israelites picked out a lamb to sacrifice according to the size of or the numbers of the households, and the lamb was then to be kept for 4 days. And during this time, from the 10th day to the 14th day of Nisan, the lamb would be examined to ensure that it was healthy and free from blemish or defect to qualify as the Passover sacrifice. Jesus was examined and questioned by the religious leaders and Pilate during this time period, from the 10th day to the 14th day of Nisan, and found to have no fault. Pilate, after his own examination, declared Jesus a just man with no guilt or sin found in him. In Exodus 12, the lamb would be sacrificed on the 14th day of Nisan, and the Israelites would eat the Passover meal and unleavened bread before the Exodus, and set free from Egypt. It was on the 14th day of Nisan when Jesus gathered with his disciple in the upper room for the Passover Seder meal. In the morning of that day, the day of Passover, Jesus was led to Golgotha, and at 9 a.m. he was nailed to the cross and for 6 hours hung there bearing the weight of human sin, and then he died. He died as an atoning sacrifice to set free all who believe in him from the burden of sins. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices in the temple, and these sacrifices at the temple also point to the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sins for all believers, once for all. Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." Hebrews 7:27, "As those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins and then for the people's. For this he," that is Jesus, "did once for all when he offered up himself." When Jesus gave up his breath and cried out in anguish, in Mark 15, verse 34, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated into, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus put aside his deity and authority as God the Son. He suffered severe mental, physical pain as a human person, a man on the cross for us. When he breathed his last, the veil of the temple separating the holies of the holy to the rest of the temple was torn from top to bottom. As only the Jewish high priest, he's the only one, could enter the most holy place in the temple once a year on the Day of Atonement, after offering blood sacrifices for both his own sins and the sins of the people. Hebrews 9, verse 7. The veil was torn from top to bottom when Jesus gave up his breath, signifying that the barrier between God and man was removed when Jesus died, so that all can have access to the holiest of holy, or to God, through Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross. This is why Jesus is called our high priest. The high priest is with the capital H and the capital P. If Jesus did not come as a man in human flesh and die for the sins of the world, then our sins would not be passed over and forgiven. Praise to God for his great love that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ for his amazing grace that he put aside his deity, came as a man, fully man, and died as the only sinless man on the cross to atone our sins. Jesus is fully man. This is not the end of the story. Jesus died, was buried, but he rose from the dead on the third day. Jesus rose from the dead on the 17th day of Nisan. The 17th day of Nisan for this year, 2026, would fall on April 5th this year, which is Easter. The resurrected Christ in his glorious body appeared to many witnesses during the 40 days after his resurrection at one time, witnessed by 500 brethren, and before his ascension back to the heaven. Jesus Christ is a God-man. He is fully God and fully man. I will close by reading the following passages. 1 John 4, verses 2 to 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. John 20, 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a God-man? If you haven't believed yet, believe today, and receive the gift of everlasting life from God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the God-man who humbled himself, came to this sinful world as a perfect sinless human to save the world from the consequence of sins, which is death. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. May your Spirit touch the heart of those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, our Lord, yet believe today. and receive the gift of everlasting life. May the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.